Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. All right. Praise the Lord.
Well, we had our big Christmas party this past Wednesday, our 13th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. And, you know, last year we raised $72,906 and we gave Christmas to 4,232 children and elderly and 14 needy families. Well, this year we raised cash $65,603. We had gifts of $16,841, and gift cards of $1,591, a total of $84,035.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, that's our second biggest year as far as funds. But the interesting part about this is this year we had our largest blessing of Christmas to children and elderly. We gave Christmas to 6,141 children, 11 families, and that included 95 elderly. So praise the Lord. 6,141. Wow. I mean, I'm in awe what God does.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was really great. Dwight was talking to me. He's the executive director at the Christ Haven, and he told me I still have $4,500 to raise to buy them the Six Flags tickets, season passes that they want, because that's the only thing that they get to do during the year. It's the only activity, because you can't take 50-plus kids, you know, out to dinner a lot or to the movie or any of those things. So they don't get any activities other than the Six Flags and then the free tickets that we get from the zoo and the rodeo, but that's only a few. And so I told him, I said, well, okay, I'm still working on that. And he said, well, he said, pray for me. He said, I've got to raise before the end of this year $300,000. I was like, whoa. I'm glad that's you and not me. You know, I only got to come up with $4,500 in a few months. You know, you're talking $300,000. It takes $1.7 million to raise for that program at Christ Haven. And so it's quite a deal. But we gave not only to Christ Haven, we gave to Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange. We gave to the Salvation Army in Denton, which includes 8 Denton nursing homes. We did Wings of Hope, which included the Lena Pope Home and Grace. And we did the Justin Community Clothes Closet. And Justin Community Clothes Closet never gets toys, new toys. They only get used, broken toys. And so last year I had some extra. That's when I found out about it. And we gave them about 50 last year at the end of the time. And I bought them a bunch of toddler clothes, about $1,500 worth, and also paid their 1 month rent of $400 for them, because I had some money left over last year, which is interesting how this all works. But anyway, God knows what He wants the money for. And then this year I went to buy a Ross gift card, and they had all these toys on sale, so I bought a bunch in my little red sports car and had toys piled out the back and the back seat and the front seat. And I called up the lady at Justin Clothes Closet and asked, I said, I've got about 54 toys. Can I bring them? Can I meet you so I can empty my car? She said, sure. So she came and met me, and I got rid of those. And then the next day we went down to the Dallas Children's Charity Love for Kids, and they have given us toys every year. They started with around 40, then 75, then 110, 125 last year. This year they gave us 300 toys, and so we gave part of those to the Salvation Army, and then we gave 190 of the others to, because we split them up in ages, and we gave those to the Justin Community Closet. So this year she had about 250 toys, and I said, well, what are you going to do with those? You know, how are you going to break this up? And she said, one toy per child, so which was really neat. So they get some clothes, and they get a toy. And then I was all upset about the Salvation Army. When I went there a week and a half ago, I guess it was, for the first time, I found out they had 12 to 14-year-olds, 200 of them, that had nothing, zero. They had not been, like they have angel trees around town, and no one took them. And they only get two gifts. All the kids get two gifts. And they wanted blankets. So I went out and I bought 250 blankets, because I thought, I just broke my heart that a teenager, for Christmas, you want a blanket. And I guess if you're homeless and you're living in a shelter, and you know you're in, and you, to be in the Salvation Army or to be as far as the Christmas program, and to be in the Grace, you have to be under the poverty level, which I think is $20,000, something like that. So, you know, I am so glad I'm not there, and I'm so glad that I don't need a blanket, because I have a blanket on my bed. So Anyway, God's good, and thank you to everybody that helped. And if you want to continue helping, we still need to get the $4,500 for the Six Flags. So if you'd like to help with the rest of it, we have $4,500 more that I need to raise before early spring for the Six Flags season passes. And for all of those that helped, that came wrapped and that just helped me, period, that went and shopped for me or did whatever, we blessed so many people this year, and I just want to thank all of y'all for blessing 6,141 children and 11 families.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. If we just had all them kids in church one Sunday, we'd have a big bunch, wouldn't we? 6,000. That's awesome to think about. 6,000 children. And I'm going to tell you something. This last week, I was talking with a deacon in a church, and I was telling him about this, and he says, well, you want to make sure you tell those children, especially the little ones, that all these toys come from Santa Claus. I told him, there ain't no way. He said, what do you mean? I said, I tell them the truth. I said, that's one thing I make sure. I said, when I was raising my children from the day they were born, I told them that Dad and Mom was putting the packages under the tree for them. They did not come from Santa Claus. There's no such thing as a Santa Claus. It's a figment of your imagination. I said, Jesus Christ is the one that provides everything for every one of us. And I made sure my children knew that everything I had it because I got it from God, and I give it to them because God loved me. And that's what I believe. And I mean, just like these children, when I prayed the prayer for the food the other night, in the prayer, I told the children that all of these gifts came from men and women that were moved upon by God. And that's where they came from. They didn't come from Santa Claus, although there may be a man going to sit down there with a suit on. But I said, he did not give you not one single one. He may pass those out, but they didn't come from him. They came from Jesus Christ. And today, I just stand in awe at the people that when you go somewhere, they'll say, well, happy holidays. And I said, no, okay, how about a holy day? Happy holy day. This is Jesus's day. Well, and I've had some people recently that will tell me, well, now, Thurman, you can't do this because you might offend some other religions. I said, I could care less. That's where I am. I could care less. I said, there is only one God. And we read about him in this Matthew and Luke event about how he came to this earth. And when I stop and think about what the Master came for, in fact, we're going to cover his story a little bit in Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18 in the King James Bible. But I'm going to do something this year that I've never done before. When I get through with my message, which I don't know how long it'll take, maybe 30 minutes or whatever, I don't know. But however long it takes, I want you to be thinking what you're going to say to Jesus, because I want you to come up here after we get through. And I want you to come up here and take the mic, and I want you to talk to the Master. And I want you to tell him how much you love him, because everything you have, even the breath you and I breathe, he give it to us. Did he not? I'm telling you, when people, that we lose touch with what Christmas is about. It's the Master's birthday. It's not your birthday. It's not your kid's birthday. Yet we give each other gifts and all that stuff. But how many of us never tell Jesus nothing? I mean, even Christians, we get so wrapped up in the world and telling everybody about Christmas and everything that we forget to stop and say, Lord, I thank you. I am what I am by the grace of God. I love you, Lord. I praise you and thank you. I want you to be thinking while we're talking about this story out of Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. I want you to be thinking what you're going to say to the Master. It don't have to be long. It might just say, when I hold the mic up or you come up, you might just say, Lord, I want to tell you I love you. That might be all you got to say. But some of you may have something more to say. Some of you may have maybe a minute or two worth of stuff that you can thank him for. But that's what I want you to be thinking about. I think about this young couple up here. They're newly married folks. She asked me to pray for her the other day. She's going to go. I believe you had to go to Canada, didn't you, Katie? And she was going to take her test or whatever for her doctor degree. And she asked us to pray. And we did. And she went up there and she just come back and she said, I'm now doctor. She said it was even easier than I thought. Why was it so easy? What'd we do, Tony? We prayed. I guarantee. And when we prayed, the Master heard. And she's thankful for that today, that's behind her now. All that hard work and effort is all behind you. Now then, you go do something for Jesus. In fact, since I had to go to Canada to do it, I remember that one time when we went to Canada to preach, when we went through customs, after we got off the airplane, they wanted to see our passports. So I took out my passport and I handed it down there. And the lady says, what did you come to Canada for? I said, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, are you a Christian? And she says, go right down that red line right there to that office down there. And as we started down the road, Cheryl says, honey, you need to let me do the talking. You're going to get us thrown out of Canada before we even get there. Don't you know they don't believe in Jesus up here? I said, you know, isn't that amazing that they had a, I don't know whether you call them a president or a prime minister, whatever they call the person in charge, but there was a lady ran for the head dog up there in Canada a few years ago, and she stood on the platform that we needed to get rid of all Christians. Now, how would you like to be a member of a place like that? We're almost that bad, but we're not quite that bad, and the reason we're that bad is because we walk in a store and say, Merry Christmas, and somebody says, Happy Holidays. And I say, Merry Christmas, don't you know Jesus? No, I can't say that, I will offend somebody. You know what I do when they tell me that? I lay my stuff right back down on the counter and say, I'm sorry, have somebody put that back up. I ain't buying nothing in this store. I mean, if you're not willing to tell me Happy Jesus Day, I ain't gonna buy nothing in your store. I'm not gonna buy it. Somebody say, well, that's not very nice, that's okay. I want people to know who I'd a whole lot rather offend you than him. If I offend him, you know what he might do to me? He might make me fail that test. I don't want to fail my test. Do you, Katie? No, I don't want to fail my test. But you know, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if he was not the most merciful, awesome God there was, there wouldn't be a single one of us in this room be alive today. He would have killed us all because we have all denied him at one time or another. I'm grateful that he is a merciful and mighty God. So as we start in Matthew, I want us to look here in the King James Bible. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You know, unfortunately today, far too many people come up pregnant before they get married. And it's because they were breaking the rules of God. But in this day, it was still illegal back in this day to get pregnant, just like it's supposed to be today. And you know, people don't realize that God's judging people today, and that's why we have so many problems. And that's why we have so many children born with physical defects and everything else, because people conceive children before they get married. And that curse is still there. I mean, just, most of us don't know it, but it's still there. When I learned that was there, I mean, it's amazing when I learned what he came for and what he has done for us, the number of children that I have been able to pray for in the last 10 years. I could not tell you how many children I've seen with every kind of disease known to man that's came to either to this church or the one in Dallas. And after I realized and I told them they were redeemed from the curse, and if the mother or father had repented of the sin, and once we got rid of the sin, we saw the Lord do in some cases, an instantaneous healing of these children. That's a mind-messing up thing, isn't it, Bill? But you know, it happens all the time. And it's amazing that the church doesn't know what Jesus came for. But he was born of a virgin, and she was with that child by the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privately. When I was a young man, I mean, that's been a long time ago, but when I was a young man, when I was probably 10, 12, 15 years old, if a girl got pregnant, usually, you know what the daddy did? Because usually they had a mama and a daddy back when I was a kid. You know, it wasn't like it is today. You know, that we have so many divorces, it's unreal. It's just amazing. But if a girl got pregnant by a young boy in the town I was living in, the daddy went over to that house and got that boy with a shirt collar, and if necessary, had a shotgun in his hand and said, you're going to marry my daughter and you're going to stay with her forever. You had sex with her before you got married. Now you're going to bear that child. You're going to work for that child. You're going to produce for that child just like I did for her. You're going to work, and if you don't, I'm going to follow you with a shotgun. I'm going to blow your backside off if you don't do it. And guess what them boys did? They got busy. They got busy right then. That's the way it used to be done. There was a punishment for doing this. But back in this day, there was a punishment too. And they put them away. And if they told everybody what happened, that this woman has got pregnant, but out of wedlock, and it's not me, I'm not the one that done it. She must have been hanging out with somebody else if she got pregnant. What was the penalty? Stoning until dead. So I guess God has always been kind of down on this, hadn't he? But we used to have some men. I mean, here we had a good, godly man that he said he loved her. And even though she's pregnant, he doesn't understand this. He just knows that she's pregnant. And he knows he didn't do it. He knows for sure he didn't do it. And so, okay, he's just going to say, okay, well, I'll just have to put you away privately. You know, I won't do anything. I won't make a spectacle of you. You know, I won't tell the world. You know, you just go away to another city to live or something. But I won't do anything about it. Let's see what happens. Verse 20. 19, yeah, 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Now, let me ask you a question. Here we got an angel that appears. Have you ever seen an angel? Most people have not. Most people have not. But if you have, if an angel did appear to you, in other words, sometimes angels look just like men. I mean, you may have entertained one and you may have had dinner with one and didn't even know it. You know, I mean, I know the three I saw in Cook's Medical Center while I was down there. They all three looked like normal men. You know, there was no big thing. I mean, I could have went to dinner with those guys. You know, they just, when I looked over at them, the guy standing looking at me made a statement to me, and it was an awesome statement. But they looked like just normal men. I had no idea. But the one the night we woke up in the bedroom, Cheryl and I was sleeping, and all of a sudden she's screaming and backpedaling and almost knocking me off the other side of the bed. And when she did, she said, she's screaming something. And I woke up and here is this big giant man standing beside our bed, backing up doing this. And then he just backed up into the dark and disappeared. What do you do when you see something like that? Do you do what your wife did, scream? Most people will. Because the angel didn't say, fear not, like this one did. He didn't say anything. But he was there for a little while, for just a little while. And then he was gone. Well, we didn't know what he came for. We had no idea until we went to Norway. And while we were in Norway praying for people, the Lord spoke to Cheryl and told her one night after we was praying over a huge stack of prayer requests, that the angel that showed up in our bedroom came to put a special anointing upon us for Norway. That's what the angel came for, to put a special anointing, because I'm going to tell you, we've had some of the greatest testimonies come out of Norway. We preached to about 100 to 150,000 people every night for 10 days in a row. 150,000. We had thousands of miracles and healings and things. God has done so many things. And then there was a man, while I was preaching one night, came up, and he's in a wheelchair, and he come up and he said, Pastor, until you came here and preached this word like you preach it, I had no idea why I'm sitting in this wheelchair at still such a young man. He was only like 50 or 55 years old. He said, I had no idea why I was in this wheelchair until I heard you preach the word. Now I know. He said, I done everything wrong a man can do wrong. He said, I ran around with my wife. I lied to people. I cheated people. I committed everything God told me not to do. I committed virtually every sin. And he said, now I know because of my sins, I am sitting in this wheelchair at 50-something years of age. My sins. When he said, sin brings forth death, he said, you don't realize that it means what it says. And so his lying and stealing and cheating, committing adultery and everything else was slowly but surely taking life away from him, and the man was dying. Isn't that something? It's just amazing. But the angel, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Has there ever been another man that was born to the Holy Ghost? No, there ain't never been another one. There's only been one. There's only one God, one Savior. And I got news for you. His name's not Buddha. His name ain't Muhammad. His name ain't Allah. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you're offended with that, then you have a problem. You need to not be offended by the name of Jesus. Because that name is the only name, the only God. He's the only God that can save your soul. In fact, even in all the scriptures and the study of all the books you can read about all these other gods, none of them, do you know that, I hate to be so blunt, but do you know a Muslim cannot be guaranteed that he will go to heaven unless he dies in jihad war? And then they say he gets to go to heaven. And he gets 70 virgins when he gets there. That's what they teach. I got news for you. All those men that died in jihad, when they did wake up on the other side a few seconds after they died on this earth, they was not with 70 virgins in a place of paradise. They were in a lake of fire in the pit of hell. That's where they were, and that's where they're going to be forever, because there's only one God that can save. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is that God, you can't go there. You can't go to this heaven. There's only one way, and it's Jesus Christ. Is that true? There is no other God. You know, so when people tell you, you know, that there is no such thing as God, God's not real, you need to be so grounded in the Word of God that you'll be like Job. Here I am sitting here with sores and boils all over my body. I just lost everything I have, every animal I had. I was a millionaire, if you might say, back in those days, more than a millionaire. I've lost all my donkeys, camels, cattle, everything else. My house and everything had been blown away with a storm. All 10 of my children were killed at one time. I've lost it all. And now all I got left is this grumbling, complaining woman. Is that true? Yeah, she was grumbling and complaining. That's all he had left. But what did he say? I don't believe you're a real God. No, he said, Lord, though you slay me. Is that what he said, Mary? Though you slay me, God, I don't understand you. I'm not God. You're God. You're the one made me. You know everything. You're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. Though you slay me, I will serve you forever. That's the way you need to know him. Because, you know, when you get down, how many of you had everything you own, including your children, die this week in a storm? Anybody have that? No, you didn't have that, did you? No, you didn't have it. And I hope we never have it. But sometimes we will have those kind of experiences. I know, I've been through it, a little of it. I didn't have 10 of them lost at one time, but I had two, nearly three, but I did have two. So I know what it is to lose your family all at one time. But I know what God told me to do. He told me to love him, worship him, and praise him through everything. Did he not? So it may not be easy to do it, but you need to do whatever he said, because, you know, if you're not really grounded in this Jesus, if you're not with the Word, when the trials and tests of life comes, you will fall away. Can you imagine that? Yeah, you really can't imagine that. But, you know, it does happen. Lots of people, when God doesn't answer our prayer like we think he should, we think he's not there. But let me tell you what, he's real. He is there and he's always been there and he will forever be there. And just because he doesn't do what you think he should. Now, there's been a few times in my life that I've prayed for something. In fact, I was telling Cheryl the other night, I said, somebody asked me, he said, Thurman, you always get your prayer answered. I said, no, I don't. I said, I can think one time, I said, it's been several years ago, but I can remember when I was working out at the airport, and it's probably been 15 years ago at least, maybe longer than 15 years ago. But I remember I was eating in the cafeteria there one day, and I crunched down on something, and I broke a tooth back over here on the top left side. Broke a tooth. Well, I'm getting into the faith business pretty good, so I'm just going to thank the Lord for fixing my tooth and making it perfect. I'm going to stand on his promises, and that tooth's going to get well. And I believed it. No doubt in my heart, I believed it. It's going to happen. Well, it wasn't long until that was loose up there, and another one right beside it. I broke a second one right beside that one. That's not what I asked for. I didn't ask him to break two. You understand where I'm coming from? I didn't ask him to break two, so I'm standing on his word. And I'm repenting of all sin. I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm in the Word. I'm praying for other people, seeing God do awesome things. But for 5 years, 4 or 5 years, I prayed and thanked him for fixing those two teeth. And finally, one day, those two teeth, I just decided, that's it. I missed it somewhere. they're bothering me, so I'm just going to go to a dentist and have him pull them. And so I went in to Dr. Cox up here in Justin years ago and asked him if he'd pull a tooth for me, or those two teeth, and he checked them. He looked at me and said, well, they're infected. So he said, you'll have to go. He said, I can't pull them, but I'm infected. So he said, you'll have to go around to the drugstore, take this prescription, get you some antibiotics, and take this for 3 weeks, and then said, come back, and that should take care of it, and then I'll pull them. I said, okay. So I took the prescription, walked out, got in my pickup, wadded the thing up, and threw it in the floorboard, and I said, now, God, I know you can take the infection out of my teeth. I know you can. I've seen you do it. So, Lord, I don't know why you hadn't healed my teeth, but I know you can fix that infection. And I had bold faith for that infection. I never even thought about that again until the 3 weeks was up, and I went in there and I told him, I said, okay, doc, the infection's gone. I guarantee it. And he said, did you take all that medication? I said, I didn't take not one single pill, not one. I'm just standing on God's word. He said, well, I'm guaranteeing that infection didn't go away. I said, you look in my mouth and there ain't going to be no infection. He looked in my mouth and he said, well, you're right. There's not a sign of infection. So he pulled the two teeth. Now, why didn't God fix the two teeth? I don't know. To this day, I don't know. Now, can he fix teeth? Yeah. Here just a few years ago, I don't know how long it's been, but after I couldn't get mine fixed, Sharon come to work for us after she got healed. And one day she went to have her teeth cleaned and the doctor told her, you need a root canal. So she said, no, I ain't going to do no root canal. I'm going to go have my pastor pray for me. Now that's me. I'm her pastor. Obviously, I don't have any faith for teeth because I can't get my own teeth healed. So anyway, she comes in one day and said, Pastor, I was at the dentist's office. He said, I got to have a root canal. I want you to pray for me. And I know if you pray for me and agree with me, according to Matthew 18:19, says Jesus healed all these other things in my body. I know if you pray for me and agree with me, that my tooth is healed. It's done in Jesus' name. So I prayed in all the faith I had. And I said, Lord, thank you. It's done. Sharon goes back to the doctor the next year. She waits, about a year later, whatever. I never think about it again. She goes back in to have her teeth cleaned again, and the doctor reminds her, do you want to have a root canal? And she says, no, there's not anything wrong with my teeth. I had my pastor pray for me, and so that God healed my tooth. He said, look, root canals don't get healed. And she said, mine did. And so he checks her and comes back and said, Sharon, you're right. There's nothing wrong with your tooth. So she comes and tells me. She comes and tells me, praise God, the Lord healed my tooth that you prayed for. Is that right, Sharon? Amen. She's sitting back there in the back. So that's exactly what happened. And her tooth got healed. And you have no idea how many times I've asked God since that day. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I agreed with her. And you know, he hadn't told me anything, but this is probably what he's telling me. If you had the kind of faith Sharon does, I'd heal your tooth too. Do you understand? Everything she spoke was faith. You understand that, Michael? Everything Sharon did was faith. I thought everything I was doing was faith, but it didn't work for me. You know, I have two holes up there. You know, I'm still standing on the Lord. Once in a while, I'll remind the Lord and say, Lord, I'm still standing for you to make those teeth like brand new, and I believe you're going to do it. Now then, I remember, I can't think of his name. He was a Baptist preacher that stepped over into this world of faith. And he was down at Christ for the Nation. I was down there with him one time. And he was preaching bold faith to all those young people at Christ for the Nations. And there was a young girl, I don't know how old she was, 20, 22 or 3 or 4, I don't know, some young woman. She came up and asked him to pray for her a new tooth. She had a tooth missing in a certain place. And he said, well, where is it? And she opened her mouth, and of course, he was a lot taller than she was, and she opened her mouth and started to run her tongue over. As she opened her mouth, I could see the place where the tooth was missing. As she started to run her tongue over there, say, right here, his name was Bob. He saw a brand new tooth just come right up and fill up the hole under her tongue. It happened, and she put her tongue over there and right, it's not missing. It's there. He said, yes, I saw the Lord put it in there. Now, why does God do that? Why did God put that tooth in there so quick in that little girl for Bob when he prayed, but yet I'm standing on his word for 5 years for two, and he never does heal either one of them? Mary, I don't understand that girl. You either? So see, there's some times that, you know, God may not answer your prayer like you want it. But let me tell you something. Because he didn't answer that prayer even to this day, which is 15 years later, at least 15 years later, I still got two teeth missing in the back and the top, but I still know he's God. I still, it don't change my preaching. It don't change the way I minister to people. It don't change nothing because I didn't get an answer there. I know that if I don't pray the prayer of faith for somebody, I ain't going to get it then either. But I know that this Jesus that we're talking about came to this earth 2,000 years ago as a baby and was conceived in a woman's womb by the Holy Spirit so that he could be God and he could give us this power and we could be God's children, sons and daughters, so we could pray the prayer of faith for people and see God do great and awesome things. Amen. Scott, this last week, he came in telling me about a woman that he's doing some business with, and she had a problem with her foot. And he said, ma'am, are you a Christian? She said, well, yes. He said, well, you need to have somebody pray over your foot. She said, well, I did, but it didn't help anything. Scott said, well, obviously they didn't do things right, so let me pray. And so he remitted her sins and got her to confess sin. And then he says, I'm going to take a scripture and we're going to stand on a scripture. And then, ma'am, I'm going to guarantee you my Jesus, I have a covenant with my God, and I'm going to guarantee you my God's going to heal your foot and take away the pain. And he prayed the prayer of faith and said, now then, how's your foot? And she moved it and said, there's no pain. It was already instantly healed. Did I tell that story right, Scott?
Yes.
Yes, I told it right. He told it to me just like that. Now then, just because I didn't get my two teeth healed, does that mean he's not there?
No, he is there.
Have you ever prayed a prayer for God to do something for you and he didn't do it?
Yeah.
I want to see your hand. How many of you like me have prayed before and he didn't do it? Okay, so that's pretty well all of us, you know. We have, there's times that, and of course it may be like the book of James says, you have not because you ask not, or you have not because you ask amiss. You know, so, you know, sometimes we do that, don't we? But let me tell you what, that doesn't change what we're reading here. Because he doesn't answer my prayer or your prayer once in a while. He still came as a little boy. He came conceived into a virgin's womb. He came because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved upon that little girl. And there was a boy born, come from her womb, that was born to be the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And that God is the only God, and he's still alive and well today. Is he not?
Amen.
So whenever you don't get your prayer answered, don't let that turn your heart away from God. He is still just as real. And the next time you pray for something, I mean, I stop and think, what if when I didn't get those two teeth fixed after 4 or 5 years, I just said, God, I don't believe you're real, and I ain't praying for nobody else. What would have happened? Well, if that had happened, you wouldn't have your back healed. You wouldn't have your back healed because I wouldn't have been there to teach the principles. But just think of the people and the children. Think of the people that we, Cheryl and I, in the last 10 years since we've been married, think of the people all over this world we've gone to and we prayed for them and seeing God do awesome miracles. Now, what if 15 years ago when I didn't get my tooth healed, if I'd said, that's it, God, I don't believe you're real. I ain't asking you for nothing no more. You didn't heal my teeth. Now, does he know why he didn't heal my teeth? Yes, he does. But he hadn't told me yet. I still don't know. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So the thing about it is, you know, there's some things I just don't know. I don't know everything about God, and you don't know everything about God, but does that make him any less real? No. Some people say, you know, this is just a story in the Bible. This is an old book. It don't mean nothing. Let me tell you what. Have you ever heard anybody say that about the Bible? It's just an old book, you know, don't mean nothing, you know, no. That's a bunch of stories that was written by men, you know, thousands of years ago. It don't mean nothing. It's not real. Let me tell you what. It's real. It's very real. Let's go to the next verse. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now then, What if he had not come? Tony, you and me wouldn't be saved today, would we? Are we glad he came? Richard, are we glad he came?
Absolutely.
I guarantee I am so grateful that the Master came. I'm so grateful that he came and died on a cross for all of us. But he didn't just die on that cross for just those of us that are in this room or even in every church in the Metroplex. And I know there's a lot of this scripture in Matthew and Luke being taught today in churches because it's the Christmas story. You know, now, do we believe that Jesus came on 25th of December? I don't. You know, I mean, we use that day, but I don't just celebrate his birth on the 25th. I celebrate it every day. You know, I believe Jesus is, he's worthy to be praised 24/7. And he is worthy to be praised. There's no two ways about it. But I believe that, you know, he came more into at the end of the last feast, maybe Tabernacles or Rosh Hashanah or something like that. I believe that's when Jesus was born. I don't believe he was born on December the 25th. But if that's when we want to worship him and praise him as a group of people, I don't have a problem with praising him on December the 25th. I don't have a problem worshiping him on October the 15th or any other day. Do you? He is my God. I know, just like the other day when Cheryl and I was up there in, let's see, where was it? We was in that elevator the other day with those guys. Oh, it was in North Carolina. We was we got an elevator with a bunch of guys, and there was four elevators there. It's a big hotel. And before we got in there, I am praising the Lord. You know, I mean, y'all know me, right? You know, I'm out there saying, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I said, praise. Anybody out here in this bunch of men know Jesus? And some of them saying, I do. Some of them not paying no attention to me at all. We get in an elevator full of people, and I'm praising the Lord. And this one gal over in the corner, I said, sir, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He said, I do. And the guy standing here looking out, got his face about this close to the wall. I said, how about you, sir? He just sits right there. As soon as the next stop, he opens the door, and he gets out, and he's gone. He don't want nothing to do with me. But let me tell you what, one of these days, if somebody don't get through to that guy, one of these days when he closes his eyes in death, he's going to be wondering, where is that guy? Where's that guy was talking to me about Jesus? Because obviously this ain't working. I'm in the flames of hell. He's going to wish he had acknowledged, right? But see, if we don't do something for Jesus, nobody's looking for Jesus. And most people won't acknowledge him. If I was the only one in that whole area that was even mentioning the name of Jesus. Wonder why? I don't know. Obviously, they don't know him like you and I know him. Is that right? I mean, Betty, is it difficult to praise the King? No, no, not for you, is it?
No,
because you've seen him do so many wonderful things in your life. It's easy to worship and praise the King. We know how real he is. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Wow. Okay, let's go to the next verse, 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, next verse, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, being interpreted, God with us. Now, you know, you tell some people about he was conceived by a virgin, and some people just laugh at you. You know, that's crazy. A virgin can't have a child. But see, when you don't think like God, it don't make no sense. If you don't think like God, you're thinking like man. And if you're thinking like man, then you'll probably never see a miracle. You've got to think like God. I thought to myself just a few years ago, I guarantee you, if that lady had run up to Scott just 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know, not very many years ago, 7 or 8 maybe, whatever, because we've been out here, y'all been coming here 6 years. So maybe 10 years ago, if Scott had run up on that woman, had that pain in her foot, he wouldn't even ask her to pray for her. Because he wouldn't have believed God, his God wouldn't have done anything. But now he knows what the Word says, and he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that when he stands on God's Word, just like it is, because of this wonderful baby that came to this earth 2,000 years ago, which made a covenant with him that he could do all these things, he has no problem now standing on his covenant with God and saying, my God will heal you if you do it the way he said, and remits their sins, takes the scripture, prays the prayer of faith, and says, now, ma'am, I guarantee you, my Jesus has healed you. You know how difficult it is for people to get to the point where they can guarantee God will do something? It takes a while, doesn't it, Scott? But you know he'll do it now. You've seen him do it over and over and over, so it's getting easier and easier to guarantee it, isn't it?
Yes,
all the time, because he sees God do great and wonderful things. He realizes that this virgin that's going to be with this child that brought forth this son, that he was God with us. He understands that God is in him, just like he's in his wife, and just like he's in me, he's in you. God is in us. And when we get to the point where we can turn him loose by faith, then there is nothing impossible with that God. Nothing. And I love seeing him do things for his people. Don't you, Scott?
I do.
You do? I do too. Every time Scott comes in, or Scott and Kim, they come in together a lot. And I just love seeing them come, because I usually know they're going to have some praise reports, because they're going to be out there doing something for Jesus. And you can't be out there doing things for Jesus without seeing praise or seeing miracles or having praise reports. And I love to hear what Jesus is doing. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord said. He had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Verse 25. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, just like he said. Okay. Is that the last verse? Okay. Let's go to the next chapter, the first verse in the next chapter. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Next verse. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Wow. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now then, you know, I used to see somebody say that there was three wise men on three camels that came. And I never even thought about that until one day I got to thinking, if three men had rode in on three camels from somewhere in the east or whatever, the whole of Jerusalem wouldn't have been troubled over three men and three camels. Right. You know, Herod wouldn't have even been concerned. He was running the show. He was the dictator there in that city. And so why would he be concerned? Just because three men rode in on their camels or horses or whatever. I'm sure they rode camels back in those days, but I'm sure they had horses too. But when I got to thinking about this, I thought if Herod was really concerned about this and all of the city was concerned about this, these three men bringing their gifts of gold, myrrh, and aloe and everything that they brought, incense, they must have come with a bunch of people. I mean, you know, even today, you don't even think about taking three men on three camels with all this gold and putting it on the backs and head across the deserts in Arabia. You ain't going to make it. There's going to be a band of thieves somewhere out there. And the only thing that causes a band of thieves not to attack another group of people is because that band's bigger than they are. Now then, you know, if you were out there in the desert and you were killing people, somebody's going across there and you were a robber and you're waiting for a car to stop somewhere so you can shoot them. There's one lonely car out there all by themselves, and you're going to shoot them and you're going to go over and steal whatever they got, and you're a robber and maybe you got a couple of buddies helping you and y'all don't have a problem doing that because when a car comes by, you just machine gun it and kill the people and everything, and it's no big deal. And they still do that over there today. They're doing that. But if a battalion of soldiers with 50 tanks are driving down the road and you're three guys with two little bitty tiny weapons like an AR-15 and these guys are riding in tanks, you know, that, and there's 50 of them, if you fire a bullet at one of them tanks, you've lost your mind. Is that right? Because all that tank's got to do is say, oh, there's something, swing that turn and point it toward you and your history. Is that right? And they're still doing that over there today, too. You know, I mean, there's so many crazy things going on in the Middle East. But here we had this group of men come in, and I really believe this was a tremendous group of people. And they were coming in looking for the king. And let's go to verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, He demanded of them, where is the Christ should be born? Where's he going to be born? You notice who he gathered together? Everybody. Verse 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. Verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and art not the least among the princes of Judah, and out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, if that's written in the prophets, and Herod's hearing this, and he's the king, do you think he's going to be extremely happy about this? Of course not. He don't want nobody to come in. He wants to rule the thing himself. So, verse 7, let's go to verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he required of them diligently what time the star appeared. Okay. Let's go. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, now, you go and search diligently for the young child. And when he had found him, when you find him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. I hate to say this, but he must have been a good Muslim. You know, because you know what the Quran says? The Quran says the infidel, you can lie to them. In other words, how would you like to serve a God that wrote and made a book that said it's okay for you to lie? Isn't that something? But their Quran says that. That's why you can't trust a Muslim. I mean, they look you right in the eye and tell you what they're going to do, and they do this to each other. You know, and they tell you they're going to do something, and you turn your back, and they stab you in the back. That's why I say, you know, if you have a Muslim or around Muslims, I don't care if they're your neighbors or what, don't trust them, because you cannot trust them. You need to pray for them and win them to Jesus. Until you get a Muslim one to Jesus, well, you at least a Buddhist and a Hindu and all those, they're kind of a peace-loving religion. They're not murderers like the Muslims. But the Muslims, you know, they have only one thing. If you don't believe in Allah, it'll kill you. That's the whole, cut your head off. Just like those, what was it, two women in Oklahoma the other day? Some Muslims cut, what was it, one or two women's head off right up there in Oklahoma? Isn't that something? And, of course, you know, Cheryl read to me last night about where some crazy guy and, you know, somebody killed a police officer or a police officer killed somebody that was a thug. You know, I mean, it's amazing. And so because the thug got killed and the police officer did that, then some crazy guy in Baltimore or wherever he's from goes to New York and walks up to two police officers in a car and kills the two police officers. And then he goes somewhere and kills himself. I thought, now, is this something? You know what those men need? They need to know this Savior. You know, they need to know this Savior. He can change their life. And, you know, it's so sad that so few people know him. But let's see what verse 9 says. When they had heard the king, they departed. And to the star which they saw, they sent them before them. It came and stood over where the young child was. And I hear people all the time tell me that couldn't happen. I mean, that can't happen. But with God, what's impossible? Nothing. That just shows us, you know, that we don't know him. If you don't believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think or imagine, you don't know him very well. Can he do that, Miss Jackie? He can do it. He can do exceedingly, not just a little bit, but exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think or imagine. Okay, let's go to verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So there is the star that's leading them to where they need to go. Now, that's got to be better than GPS. You know that? Wow. Cheryl and I was trying to find a building the other day, and we put it in the GPS, and somebody told me exactly how to get there, and the GPS took me a different direction. I told her, I said, no, the man told me to turn here. She said, well, the GPS says turn here, and she'd already turned. I said, okay, then just follow and see what happens. It got us to the same place. Obviously, the way he was going to direct me in just had to be different from the GPS. But this, you can't go wrong. When they see the star, they rejoice with exceeding great joy. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. Now you notice they didn't go, these guys didn't go into the stable. These guys didn't go into the cave. They went into a house. So obviously a little bit of time had taken place here, a few months or something, because, well, first of all, I've never had a baby. I don't want to have a baby, but I would hate to think about it. I had to ride a donkey all the way to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey the night before I was fixing to deliver. For all of you girls that have had babies, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, stop and think. Oh, my own wife, she's had two children in her life. So, honey, the night before you give birth to Christy, how would you like to rode a donkey for 50 miles? You don't think you'd like that? Not at all. That's got to be, the woman has got to be the most miserable in her life is when she's carrying a 8 or 9 or 10 pound baby inside of her body. And then you think you got to get on a donkey and ride that little thing 50 miles. And then just about the time you get there, you can't even find, there's no doctor, there's no nothing. And they send you to a cave and you go out there in the cave and you have this baby right there in the cave. Now that's got to be, not good. Do what? For sure. I can't even imagine that. You know, some women, they have problems being able just to ride in a car in that last little bit, you know, because it's uncomfortable. Even riding down the road in a nice cushioned seat, I can only imagine riding on the back of that little walking donkey. Wow. And it says, and when they were come into the house, they soon saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And then they brought, came and opened their treasures. You know, they opened all their treasures unto him, their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So when you think about these expensive gifts they had, you know that these men didn't cross this desert by themselves, three of them out there. They had some protection. They really did. So, but they bowed down. All these men bowed down and worshiped this little Jesus, this little God that came to become a man so that today you and me could enjoy what we enjoy. But let me tell you what, he's not a baby in the manger no more. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. And we worship him and praise him and thank him. He is the mighty God. And he is the one that answers our prayer. He is the one that heals our bodies. He's the one that keeps us out of sin. He is an awesome God. So whatever you do, don't forget who he is. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Now, you know, let's just stop and think about this a minute. Anytime people think that some things just happen by coincidence, you know, when you read and see all of these things that happened in the book, is there any of these things just a coincidence, or was God guiding everything that happened? God was in total control, wasn't he? Herod didn't have a prayer. There is no way. You know, in fact, it was written in the Bible years and hundreds of years before, exactly about this time. The prophets had written about this, and they wrote about where he was going to be born. They wrote about where he was going to travel to. Everything. All this was ordained of God. So when I see something like this and people say, well, you know, but God's not in control, or God's allowing this to happen. No. God is behind everything that happens. He is in control. You know, so, and when you realize that he's in control, then you have no fear of nothing else. There's only one we need to make happy, right? Verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until those that, because Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. How did God know that in advance? Are you beginning to get the idea that God's in control? He knew what was going to happen. He knows what's going to happen next month, next week, next year, 10,000 years from now. He already knows everything. So, okay, let's go to the next verse, verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. You know, when God speaks to us today, and he speaks to us many times, he speaks in many ways, and we don't even know he's talking. But when God speaks to you and tells you to do something, what should you do, Kim?
Do it right away.
Obey, right?
Obey right away.
Somebody I was talking to this last week, I don't remember where it was now, somewhere. Maybe it was when I was over at Sid Ross, I can't remember. But anyway, I was quoting certain scriptures to them, and every time I would highly emphasize where it said, you must diligently seek me, or you must obey me, you must keep all my commandments, and, you know, all of them. And as I stressed that, they said, you know, I'm beginning to get the idea that the only reason, only way God will answer your prayer and do things is if you do what he said. I said, now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? We think that we can just go do anything we want to do and live like just do anything, and God's just okay with it. No. Does he say somewhere in there that I will not hear the prayer of a sinner? So you think he means that? So if we hear him saying those kind of things in his word, that's just as good as if he's talking to you, right, Kim?
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no difference. So, wow. So if when the angel told Joseph to go into Egypt, he took the child and left right then, that night. He didn't hang around. Verse 15, let's see what it says. And was there until the death of Herod, he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Isn't that amazing how God does everything to make his scripture? If he puts something in this book, I can guarantee it's going to happen just like he said. It cannot fail. You know, so he's in total control. Now then, let's go to verse 16. We're going to quit here about pretty quick. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceedingly angry and sent forth and slew. That means killed, doesn't it? Sent forth and killed all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years of age and under, according to the time. Think about that. Here's a man that's so outraged, just to be sure he gets this God, this king. He tells his soldiers to go over there to Bethlehem and all the coast around Bethlehem. Kill every child that's 2 years of age and under. Now, can you see them old hard-nosed soldiers stopping that mother and say, is your child 2 or is it 2 years and 2 months? Can you see that? I don't see that at all. I think if they see a child, if he's 4, 5, 6 years of age, if he's less than half height of his mother, kill him. Isn't that sad? And that's what they did. They killed all them children, and all them mothers were all in such a state. Wow. Wow. Verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, verse 18, in Ramah was there a voice heard, a lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and they would not be comforted because they are not, they are no more. Do we live in a wicked country? Do we live in a wicked world? And why? Because people will not receive this free gift that we're sitting here enjoying today. We don't have to be concerned because Jesus died for all of us and for our children. And if we will serve him and love him and worship him, he'll answer your prayer. He'll do great and mighty things for you. I mean, I just stand in awe at the answers to prayer. As I look back across all of you, I think about from that time 15 years ago when I broke those two teeth and I couldn't get an answer. And they're still missing. I still don't have them. They're right there. They're gone. I just think if I'd have got angry with God and quit praying for people 15 years ago, how many people, if I had not made these CDs and DVDs that I'm, everything you see on this wall here have all been recorded in the last 12 or 13 years. Why can we do that? Because of this Jesus that came 2,000 years ago and empowered us to do these awesome things. Is that why we can do these things?
Amen.
Sure. He's the only one. Wow. Verse 19. But when Herod was dead, wait a minute. Are we all going to die? So why do people like Herod get so upset when there's coming a time when he's going to die too, isn't there? Is there going to be a time when you and me die? Sure. But do you know the beautiful part about it? Boy, when that day comes for me, wow, glory to God, I'm going to go home to be with the Master. I'm going to be on the other side. Like I told Cheryl, I said, you know, if I die, and if you want to take a chance to pray over me, I said, as long as you know it's God telling you, and I said, and you pray over me and I come back to life, I said, that's okay. You can pray over me if you want to. But I said, if I drop dead or you think I drop dead, and you call 911, I said, I'm going to personally come back from the dead and get you. I don't want, if she can't call me back from the dead, I sure don't want no paramedic here trying to raise me from the dead. I don't, because if I'm already in heaven, I don't want to come back. And some of you say, well, I'm not sure I'm ready to go yet. Let me tell you, if you ever get to see that place, you won't ever want to come back to this place. Will you? No, absolutely not. I guarantee you. Nobody we've ever talked to that's ever died and went to heaven wanted to come back to this earth. They all wanted to stay. That's just like that doctor, can't think of his name now. But anyway, he used to be on TBN a lot. And he says that I was a non-believer. I didn't believe in Jesus. And he was a heart specialist. No, it was another one, Ridinger or something like that, this one. Not Dr. Eby, but another one. Not Richard Eby. But anyway, there's another doctor. I'll think about it in a minute. But anyway, he said that I've had all kinds of people that I would shock treat them as come in from an automobile accident or something, and they would be resuscitated. And whenever they would come back to life, they'd say, Doc, what are you doing? I was in this wonderful place. I don't want to come back here. And he said, you know, you were hallucinating. And then he said, the next one, when I'd bring them back, they'd be screaming. I was in this place of flames. Oh, it's awful. God, somebody save me. I was in this place of terror. He'd say, you were hallucinating. No, Doc, I was in hell. I got to come to know Jesus. Do you know how to know Jesus? He said, yeah, sure. Just repeat after me. I repent of my sins and ask you to save me, Lord Jesus. And he said, the guy got totally saved. He said, what I didn't know is God saved me too when I said the same thing. Is God kind of sneaky? Can he do some wonderful things? And this doctor didn't even know this until... until he just told that guy how to get saved. That guy got saved. He said, and I got saved too, out of the whole thing. Oh, me. But now Herod died, and an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And verse 20. And he's saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for they that were dead were to back brought the young child's life. They were the ones that were seeking the young child's life. He's dead and gone. Has there been a lot of Herod since then? Come up here, Bill.
We all know that in Matthew 22:37, it says, Jesus said these words. He said, love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. And another verse that I like says, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Well, I wear baseball caps. I got one that says, Jesus is Lord. I got one that says, God is good. Every day, and over on the side it says, I love Jesus. I wear those things at different places, almost as a challenge. And a lot of times I get some pretty good compliments. Sometimes I get stares. But let me tell you something, and I'm going to give you something to think about. You can take out of here, and you can tell all your Muslim friends. First of all, they will admit they don't serve a God of love. Now, he doesn't. And he's also, we know him as a father of all lies, okay? He came to rob, steal, and destroy. And I want to leave you with a thought. When they talk about jihad, and they talk about Allah, and they talk about when they die by killing a Christian, infidel, or a Jew, they envision going up to heaven with 70 and 72 virgins will be waiting for them. Well, part of that is right, because the devil lied to them. Let me tell you the part that's right. There'll be 72 virgins, but there'll be demon virgins in hell that'll be waiting on them. God, a devil has got a lot of them down there waiting. And those are the virgins they'll meet, and they'll have them for an eternity. It won't be in any heaven. I can tell you that for sure.
Amen.
And I don't care if you tell a Muslim or tell them I said that. They're serving the wrong God, and they're going the other place. But don't look up, fellas. Look down, because that's where you're going to be headed.
Praise the Lord. Tell us what Jesus did for you. Just a line or two about how much you love him for why. Okay, go.
I love Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And God has already, he showed me how I'm going to die, and he's already shown me he's coming back to get me with my daddy, and I can't wait to see the two of them.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, who else? Who's next? Come on. Come on up here, Mary. Come on. Praise the Lord. Just tell how much you love Jesus and why you love him.
Okay. Well, I definitely love Jesus, and I'm going to thank him ahead of time for letting me into his wonderful heaven.
Amen.
I just wanted to sing a little bit of Psalms 91, if that's okay.
Okay.
Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who's next? Who's next? Praise the Lord.
This is a report from Louise from El Salvador this morning. I hadn't heard from him since the 18th, and he gets, it's just, there's trouble with signals down there, and I just stand on the Word of God and say he's okay, and Lord's, you know, working with him. But he'd been working, and he said, remember the place where we ate when I first got to El Salvador in the ocean there? And he said, well, I've been in the ocean, and I'm getting some money from helping with fishing down there. But he said that it rained yesterday, and this is their dry season. And he said he's never seen it where it's rained like this. All in Honduras and all of El Salvador, it just poured and didn't stop. And he said it was very unusual. And he said, the Lord's coming very soon. But anyway, we're getting the truck ready, and I was there all day looking at all the clothing and all the things that you, this wonderful church has donated. So just keep it in prayers, because we've got to get this truck down there before the end of this month.
Okay.
But anyway, God is good, and I just wanted to, Louise just says, tell the church that Jesus is coming.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He is coming. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'd just like to praise the Lord for great things that are happening. I've been praying a lot for something lately, and it didn't happen to my knowledge, but I know it happened.
Amen.
So I just had to walk the other way for a while, but praise the Lord, everything's going to work out.
Amen.
So,
praise the Lord.
Thank you for, you know, feeding me, because I'm about to go eat here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Why do you love Jesus?
I love Jesus because he saved me.
Amen.
And I love him for a Christian heritage. My parents are Christians and brought me up as Christians.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. Who else? Come right up here. Praise the Lord. Why you love Jesus? Remember, it's his birthday.
I love Jesus. He is my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
I just look back over the last year and the many blessings that He has already given me. That I look back a year ago and I was unemployed, I was alone, and God has blessed me with a wonderful husband, with a godly heart, and a happy family.
Wow, you have a lot to thank Jesus for, girl. Praise the Lord. Yeah, she's got a new husband, and he loves her, and she loves him. My goodness gracious, who's next? Who's next? You want me to hand it to you?
I would like to thank Jesus for healing him.
Praise the Lord. He is, our son is being healed.
They said when we had the accident when he was 5 that he would never live to be 16, and if he would, he'd be a vegetable. He's not a vegetable.
How old is he now?
He'll be 19 next month.
19 next month.
And he just said his first complete sentence last week after y'all prayed for him.
Praise the Lord. Fantastic. Amen. Why do you love Jesus?
I love Jesus because he's brought me so far. And with everything that has breath, praise the King.
Amen, amen. That's exactly what the Lord says. Okay.
I thank the Lord for bringing me over here and meeting you all and teaching me in His Word, helping me grow every day, and for Christian brothers and sisters. I really learned to. Without God, it's not the same. We know we're not perfect, but within Him, it shows His unfailing love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who else? Okay, here we are.
I just want to thank the Lord for 40 years ago, He saved me.
Amen.
And He's brought wonderful people into my life in the last several months that's literally changed my life.
Amen.
All for the good.
That's what
I praise Him because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen. I'm in agreement with you, brother. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Who else? Okay, hand this mic right down there to that little lady. Why do you love Jesus?
I love Jesus because I learned that He's always been with me, even though I had a real bad sense of fear, and I was always afraid of everything and everybody. And when I got almost 70, I had lung cancer surgery in 2008, and I thought I wasn't going to live to see my 70. And God allowed me to live. That was 2008. I was 70. And yesterday I had my 76th birthday.
Amen. Praise
After
God.
All these other diagnoses with the brain tumor and seizures and right lung cancer, they say.
Amen.
And so I came today because I said I want Pastor Thurman to pray for me before I go back to Georgia.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We'd be happy to pray for you, girl. You and I both had your birthday just a few days ago. Mine's in a few days, and I'm fixing to be 76. We got one down here. So it's wonderful to be 76 and still going, right?
Right.
Praise the Lord. Yes, go ahead.
I'll do it quick. I praise the Lord for His salvation. I praise the Lord for bringing us to this church. I praise the Lord for my handsome husband and beautiful son. And I give Him the glory every day.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, yes.
And I praise the Lord for saving me, too. When you ask me, you know, what could I say, I just thank Him for the holy blood that He shed for me on the cross.
Amen.
He who knew no sin was made sin for me, that I could be the righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen. Yeah. Amen, brother. He did it. He did it. Okay, did you want to say something?
I want to thank God for everything.
You want to thank God for everything? All right, praise the Lord. I'm with you. Who else? Who we got? Okay, brother.
I just want to thank God because He first loved me and because He made me in His image. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. About a month and a half ago, I lost a job. I can't explain, but we haven't missed the mortgage payment. We haven't missed the bill payment. We still have food on the table. And a couple weeks ago, I called Rosemary because the transmission on my car went out. It was going to cost about $700 to get it fixed. And I said, I just want you to agree with me, you know, Matthew 18:19, you know, agree with me for favor. And that very afternoon, they called up and said, it's not going to cost you anything.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do y'all need to, y'all want to make a statement about why you love Jesus?
You just wouldn't believe. We've been under a curse. And He prayed over us and things have happened. I went to buy tires, and I could only afford two. I ended up with two more free. I walked into a car dealership. You know, they send you those little flyers, come look at our car, and you get something, you know, a prize. I walk in there, and if I would have been 30 seconds later or 30 seconds earlier, I wouldn't have won a 40-inch TV.
Wow.
And then when I talked to the salesman, I told him I came here to talk to you because, you know, God sent me here for a reason because I normally don't go to those things. And I mentioned about Thurman and all that, and he just gotten married, and he's been traveling, and he had no way to communicate, you know, and worship God. So I gave him a pathway where he could go and worship God.
Amen.
But I look at every opportunity, wherever we go, whatever we do, we got to use that as an opportunity to mention God.
Amen.
And push God forward.
Amen.
You know, everywhere we go, we got to migrate.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to go to Louisiana in January, and I'm going to bring some of his CDs.
Amen.
And I'm going to hand them out to different people, whoever God tells me to. Because that's what we got to do.
Amen, brother. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody back here? Everybody back here. Okay, everybody's going to talk.
Okay. Well, I'm so thankful because he saved me, he keeps me, and he meets all my needs.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Dan?
I love the Lord because he first loved me.
Amen.
And for the last 50 years, we've been in his full-time service. And it's been a blessing meeting with people like yourself and people of this church. The world is full of good people, good Christian people,
yes.
And we thank God for that.
Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord.
I love him because he's faithful to his word. He always has been, and he always will be.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Will, you want to say something? I'm going to force you to say something. Say, Jesus, I love Jesus.
Well, I love Jesus.
Okay. This lady, I'll have to force her.
And I love Jesus. Praise God. I thank God because he's so good and he has been good to me. And I thank God for putting me in the know and how to get here to this service. God has been a great, great God to me. And I just thank him for being here today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to say something?
I love the Lord because he's been so faithful to me. And I thank God for the prayer warriors before I knew the Lord, that he placed people in my life to pray for me and impart his word. So I love the Lord.
Amen. That's what we're trying to say. Jesus, this is why we love you. Sharon?
I love the Lord most because he gives me peace that passes all understanding.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, Lord, I just want to tell you that I love you so much, that you are the desire of my heart, the very yearning of my soul, and I seek your face.
Amen.
One of my favorite scriptures is, there is one who stays closer than a brother. The action of love is, I have heard your call, and I have come. Jesus does that for us, and we do that for him.
Amen. You want to say something?
I'm just thankful because God is faithful and he always brings good out of all things for when we love him and walk with him. And I've seen that in my life. And he is awesome and nothing wrong with him. He's perfect.
I love Jesus because, well, he's just my everything. Has been since I was 12 years old and I'm just now turned 90.
Amen. Praise the Lord. End it back.
I love the Lord. He saved me when I was a little girl and has kept me all these years, 68,
Amen.
Gave me a wonderful husband and children, and his grace is so rich and so free, and I just love him with all my heart.
Praise the Lord.
Colossians 1, 12, and 13 is kind of like my testimony, to where he has delivered me from the powers of darkness. He has translated me into the kingdom of his own dear Son. I have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Praise God.
Amen.
Being raised in a home to where I was rejected a lot by my dad, I never felt much like ever accepted. Until one day I was reading John 6:44, where Jesus said, no one comes to me except the Father draw him.
Amen.
And I just asked the Lord, I said, Father, I'm sure you can do better. Why did you draw me? And I heard his voice deep down my heart said, because I wanted you in my life.
Amen.
Praise God. God wants us in his life. That's why he saved us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
First of all, I want to thank the Lord for everything. The air we breathe, food, shelter. I have a wonderful family I'm really grateful for. But I want to say that one of the best things that ever happened to me outside of Jesus Christ, except to me, is this ministry. This ministry has meant so much to me, I can't put it in words, so bear with me. but Pastor Thurman, Jeff, Dave, and the group, they've had such an impact on me, and I'm so grateful that Grace and Mike got me over here from another ministry that we were a part of. It's so far away. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate this ministry that showed us the whole truth of every word in the Bible. They showed us and gave us the strength of who we are. That's a game changer. That's a game changer when I get up in the morning, when I go to work, when I'm around people. I can't tell you, and I know you as a group all know, I'm just so grateful for Pastor Thurman and this ministry. We thank you.
Praise the Lord. Wow. I want to say something about Andy right quick. When he first came here, first time I ever met him, his problem was he couldn't sleep. And he said, I can't sleep. I stay awake just a few minutes and then sleep a few minutes and then I'm awake. And I showed him some scripture. We remitted his sins and we prayed for him. He's been sleeping like a baby ever since. You want to say anything, either one of you?
I love Jesus because without him, I am nothing.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. He's a good provider for my family and everyone that who loves him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. You want to say anything, son?
Why do you love Jesus? I love the Lord that I grew up in a good Christian family and he always keeps his word and that I'm protected and the righteousness of God and I'm a son of God. And I thank you all for being a wonderful, loving family, Christian family, and I'm just grateful.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I would like to thank him for bringing me to my knees, which had to happen with me because I'm hard-headed. And I was afflicted and came here and learned how to be healed, which meant to be saved first. And I've been through that process and now have actually opened a healing center. It's a branch office of this place. It's up in Gainesville, but I distribute Thurman CDs up there. And I'm doing everything up there for free, and I am been blessed tremendously.
So, in fact, when you first came here, you were in a wheelchair, right?
No, but I was just walking on with a cane. I had a cane.
Okay. Yeah,
I had MS at that time, but I'm healed now.
Now she's getting healed. Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
Stand up to Miss Jackie when you get through.
I just want to say I love the Lord Jesus. Jesus is my all in all. And I do everything I can every day, every night to deny myself and take up his cross daily. And I'm doing my best to follow him. And without Pastor Thurman being led by the Holy Spirit and my coming here in the first place started August of 2009, I honestly, from where I come from with my journey, wondered where I would be.
Yeah, wow.
But because of this ministry and the love of everyone here, I feel right at home. And I know what the kingdom of heaven looks like because I see it here. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Okay, first of all, I love Jesus because he waited for me to catch up with him and that he continues to teach me every single day. And I thank him for you.
Praise the Lord.
Your wife.
Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you. Okay, what do you want to say? How do you want to praise Jesus, Mike?
Praise the Lord. There's so many ways. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He healed my body. Amen. He healed my soul.
Yeah.
He's my all in all.
Amen. Amen.
He introduced me to his daddy.
Amen.
And his daddy is my daddy.
Amen. Amen.
We all have the same daddy.
Amen.
And he is so mighty. So great, so powerful, so wonderful. We cannot praise him enough.
Amen.
And I just praise him. Praise his holy name, everything he did for us on the cross, everything he does for us today. He has put all the blessings of heaven in our hands.
Amen.
We are so blessed. I thank him for the talent, the ability, everything that we have is his and he gave it to us.
Amen.
We thank you. Thank you so much, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for this ministry. Thank you, Pastor Thurman, for everything you've taught us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We just praise his name. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. We thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the healing. Thank you that we are
your hands and feet on this earth. And we just take that commission to the street. We preach the gospel. We preach all the healing, all the benefits of being a child of God. We must preach the gospel. We must tell people the good news. That is our testimony. That is our thanks to Jesus. Never stop telling your testimonies. Never stop putting Jesus in front of other people so that they may hear these glorious things. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. He loves Jesus. He's grateful.
I love Jesus too, and I thank him. And like Jackie said, he's my all in all. And I just thank him for everything. I thank him for Pastor and Cheryl and Dave and just the whole church family here, because we've learned so much. Without you being blessed with the knowledge that you have, we would never have been here. We would never be able to share this with other people. And I'm just so thankful, and it's, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and I'm so thankful.
Amen, 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 and amen.
Well, I love the Lord. I thank him for saving me, and the whole time I was just so full just thinking about God's love and how good he's been to me and that he's always with me. And it's just so good to know that people around you believe, because so many people just don't believe anymore that God can do the things that he promised in his word. So I am just thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Lord and for saving me, and that he's always with me, and that he's given me a sweet husband that loves me and that does go with me to church. He doesn't come here, but he goes, and I just thank him for that and everything that he's done for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just thank him every day because he's my all in all, and he's the one that sozoed me, and I thank him for everything that he's done. We wouldn't have a family. We wouldn't be healed, and we wouldn't know this awesome couple right here.
And
we thank him every day for that kind of accidental meeting.
It was praise ordained of God.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
I'm thankful for my healing.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the truth that's taught. It's easy in simplicity. The truth of Jesus being taught here.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm thankful for letting everyone live.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This little gal is so grateful for her healing, because as some of you know or some of you don't know, that when she was a little girl, this a little baby, the doctor said she'd never walk. And so her birth parents gave her up for adoption. And this lovely couple went and adopted her and brought her to us. And we broke the curses over her and prayed the prayer of faith. And in just a matter of a few weeks, maybe a couple of months at the most, she was crawling and walking. And today she's 10 or 11 or something, sings up there beautiful. And this is a little girl that if the principles had not been known, according to the doctor, she would never have walked. She would have been in a wheelchair all of her life. That's why she's grateful for her healing. See, when she said, I'm grateful Jesus healed me, I knew some of you didn't know about her, but that she is so grateful because she can walk and run and play. Can you not? Yes, you can. Now then, I want to make sure I didn't miss nobody. If you didn't get to talk, I'll bring the mic to you. I want you to tell why you love Jesus.
Well, I owned and operated a five-star supermarket. I'm not exalting myself, but I was a millionaire, and I lost everything. And I mean everything. And through it all, I just want to read this scripture here. I was troubled on all sides, yet not distressed. I was perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I just want to say that he has me on the heels of something bigger than where I was before, and it's in a marketplace ministry, and I thank him for it. And I love him with all to the bottom of my heart. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay.
I just want to thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that I have received.
especially since coming to this fellowship here. I thank you, God, for having given your son for me. And when I read his word, and my Lord cried out, Father, why have you forsaken me on that cross? Amen. That the Father looked down and said, because of him, my son. Because of all of us.
Yes, absolutely.
Because of all of us, you're going through what you're going through. But I will raise you up, and he did. And he is my God. He is my Lord.
Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. You want to say something?
I'd like to thank God for giving my wife freedom from pain. She's going to leave me soon, very soon. In fact, I don't think she knows where I am now. I almost didn't come to church today. I felt that.
But the thing about it is, when we do have a wife or a mate that goes home to be with Jesus, she knows the Lord. Yes. You know, and she's up there in age like me. And, of course, her husband here, he's a little older, but he's still in good health. But, you know, the thing about it is, we love Jesus because when we die as Christians, we know we're going to a better place. Yes. Now, she's had a good long life. He's had an awesome good long life, but we're never ready to give up our mates, are we?
No.
But his wife is only 70-something years old, and I lost one at 59. You know, so it's not, you know, but I know where her and my daughter was only 24, but I know where they both went. Yes. They both went home to be with Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't miss them. In fact, the other day, Cheryl and I were looking at some pictures, and I happened to come up on Amanda's picture when she was about 14. And when I come up on Amanda's picture, she had a red dress on, kind of like this pink thing this lady's wearing. And guess what Dad did? He broke into tears, and Cheryl said, I'm sorry, honey. But, you know, you can't look at your babies, you know, even after you've left them 12 or 13 years. You come back and you think, wow, that's something. And I did love my daughter, I did love my wife and everything, but after they went home to be with Jesus, God gave me another wife, and I love her too. And I love her with all my heart, and we've had a great time together, and I'm grateful to God. I'm just saying my turn right now. I'm grateful to God, first of all, because he saved my soul. I know I'm going to go to heaven to be with him. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm grateful that he's taken such good care of me. He's given me such a great family. In fact, he's given me two families. You know, I think about Cheryl. I think about how much I love her and how much fun we've had traveling around together all over the world, praying for people and seeing God do awesome miracles. I praise him for all of that. That's a place that is just mind-boggling when you get to see God do those kind of things. So I just love the Lord. I love him. I praise him. I worship him. I thank him. He's a mighty God. Now, then, before we quit, I want to make sure. Oh, we got one right here. Okay, I'm gonna make sure everybody gets to tell why they love Jesus.
I'm thankful because my parents, one time they argued and they almost got divorced, but I love them so much. I don't want them to get divorced.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
That was a year ago. But we found God. We came here. He led us here. And we found this place, and we learned the truth. We learned to know who God is, and he is real.
He is.
And in the process of getting my daughter healed, my son, I got healed.
Amen.
I got healed because he healed my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that.
Amen.
Thank him every day for everything. Yeah. For my breath in the morning when I woke up, every morning when I wake up. And I thank him for you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He's a mighty God.
I thank him for all of his words, yeah. The truth, that now I can teach my children.
Amen.
God is a loving God.
Amen.
A mercy. He's mercy, and he also a just God.
Amen. He is for a fact, yes.
And they're able to discern that. Thank him for his words.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus, we just want you to know, and you, of course, you know that we love you, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We do love you, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I want to thank God for saving me. I want to thank him for my family, for healing my dad's shoulder. I want to thank him for my new husband, Jason. We got married 15 days ago by Thurman. Amen. And I also want to thank him for helping me get my PhD on Tuesday, spending 3 hours with me in a room, getting drilled by my committee, mm-hmm. and knowing that he was with me there the whole entire time and that he gave me the knowledge that I needed to become a doctor.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, baby. Come, come.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that and thank God for my family and for all the blessings and benefits he's given us all here.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't want anybody to be left out. Anybody? Anybody? Where are we? Oh, back here. Oh, Pat?
I just love Jesus. I want to thank him for saving me and for this body, this family that I have here, and for introducing me to Thurman Scribner. He has changed my life, and we're just so blessed.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We love the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? Are you Joe? You want to say something?
Thank you, Lord, for all the people here, and thank you for this church, and thank you for Pastor Thurman and Cheryl and all the prayer warriors, and thank you for everyone who I got to meet here and that I get to fellowship with every Sunday, and thank you for your word. Thank you for hearing Dad and for Mom and myself, and praise the Lord.
Amen. You want to say something, Charlie? Tell why you
thank
love
you, Jesus.
Jesus.
I love you, Jesus. You're awesome. Amen. God, amen.
Amen. That's a good one. Okay.
I love Jesus because he first loved me.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Everybody said it. Ro? Anybody?
I love him because he letting me have no baby.
Praise the Lord. Okay, did I miss anybody? Everybody. Everybody. I don't. Oh, here we go, right here.
I am so grateful for Jesus and this church and also bringing me to my knees to get here, a little hard-headed. And just really grateful for my healing journey.
Amen.
And to be on the right path and for showing me love.
Amen. That's what he wants to do. We're so grateful for the master.
Yes. Peggy introduced me to this church when I asked her what's the first thing she does for someone who is diagnosed with cancer, and she whipped out the God's Power CD. This is the first thing. And I said, wow, okay, I'll listen to it and I'll give it to my friend. And I found out you were 30 minutes from me and came down here and brought friends down here and just came and came and came, came to your healing school several times because it was the first time in my life, a few years earlier, God had asked me to meditate different than I ever had on his word, and I got a red letter Bible and just meditated on what he taught, and it was spending time with his father and teaching and healing. Yeah. And then I listened to God's Power and I was like, there's a man on the planet who sees healing the way he had showed me in scripture. Because when you said God came to you and said, son, I want you to teach healing, and you had never seen anyone healed. And so I came and came and came, and God kept building my faith through testimonies, the CDs. And I was with my family this last weekend, and they're a precious family that walks with the Lord in a not a real powerful way. My mom's healing up from cancer and doing great and did an all-natural thing, and she trusts God. Well, she got sick over the weekend, and my sister is a beautiful, sweet girl, but she thought my mom had a kidney infection and started speaking this horrible stuff that had happened to her a couple years over my mom. And I was like, no, no, no. So I got my mom alone, and I said, Mom, you know this is not from God. The enemy's trying to disturb you. Let's pray. And because of your teaching and one other ministry, I was able to bring her to his hands very confidently, and she, within a few minutes, she was like, Devin, I feel better, it's getting better. And by the next, instead of my sister scaring her that she maybe needed to drive home to go to the hospital, she felt great, got to enjoy her grandkids. And the next morning, my little four-year-old niece had a fever, and they were speaking this horribleness over her. And she, her mama was holding her, but she let me, I said, can I pray over you? And she's a strong-headed little girl, and I thought she might say, nope. And she let me, and her mama got to see God's power fall on that baby, and within a few minutes she was up and playing and laughing. And so I just thank you for standing strong and letting God teach you so you can teach us. Amen. It's powerful. God is so powerful. We got to know His Word.
He is so powerful. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody? Lord, we just want to thank you how much, we want to tell you how much we all love you, Lord. That's what we're all trying to tell you. That we love you, we praise you, we thank you. We know that this is your birthday, and we know you sent your Son to this earth 2,000 years ago to die on that cross for us, and He did it. He did an awesome job. And Lord, we cannot overemphasize how much we love you and how grateful we are. Because Lord, if you hadn't sent Jesus and He hadn't come, then none of us could do what we've been talking about, we've seen you do in the last 30, 40 minutes, Lord, as we tell you why we love you. Because all these things are based around your love for us. And we're so grateful. Now, Father, I want us to all to be in agreement for Nelda. I want us to agree in prayer that Nelda is completely healed and restored from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. She may be at home feeling bad or sick or whatever, but Lord, you said if just two or three of us on earth in this covenant we have with you, that if just two or three of us agree, you'll do it. So we ask you to be merciful to Nelda. We ask you to take all of her pain away and do a complete healing on her. We thank you for forgiving her of all of her sins and Lord, restoring her. And then Lord, give Nelda a few more good years. We realize she's up into that 70 to 80 range where you said that's all the years we're supposed to get. But Lord, we ask you to be merciful and extend her life and let her have a good life and a wonderful life with her family and her husband, and continue to give them a few more good, wonderful years together as you reach down from heaven right this minute and touch her and heal her and do a great work in Miss Nelda's life right now. And I thank you and praise you for doing that, Father. And Lord, because of all these wonderful things, that's not why we love you, but we love you because of what you did for us. Just like so many have said that you died for us when we were yet sinners, that's why we love you, because you loved us first. And Father, we thank you. And Lord, as we go through this season, as we go through the remainder of this week, when we're going to be with friends and family, let us all remember that this is all about you. It's not about us, but it's about you. It's your birthday, not ours. And that let us give you praise and glory. And the people we're around, may we act like Christian men and women that will be giving you glory and praise for everything we do. And may we walk in love with all of our family, because I know some of us will be around family that don't know you. But Lord, I ask you to reveal yourself to them through us as we walk holy and obedient to your word. And Lord, may we even walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power as we see you do great and mighty things, as we pray for those that are around us. Lord, use us mightily during this time of the time when we celebrate your birthday. And we just give you all the praise and glory and honor for being the mighty God that you are. And we want to tell you one more time, Lord, I'm just like Charlie back there, Lord. I love you. Praise the Lord. And God is awesome. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Well, I want every one of y'all, as you leave today, I want you to go. And of course, we're going to be here to pray for anybody needs to be prayed for. But if you have no need to be prayed for, I want you to leave today praising the Lord and thanking Him and worshiping Him, that everything's going to go great. We're going to have a great time, and we're going to see God do great and wonderful things in this next year. The next year will be even better than this one, and we'll be expecting the Master to use us mightily to do great and mighty things. And we can all be in agreement with that, right?
Amen.
In Jesus' name.